Some very special turkeys arrive at Purdue University. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Good morning. Welcome to the morning podcast on a Tuesday. I'm Andy Eubank on the 30th of November, 2021. And the podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them at ffbt.com to learn more. Coming up in the news, corn growers are unhappy with the current fertilizer situation, and the National Thanksgiving turkeys are now home at Purdue. Eric Pfeiffer has that story. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says warmer today, and the markets yesterday sold off. Analysis with John Zanker. The news is next on the Hat Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This year's Thanksgiving turkeys arrive in West Lafayette, and taking a closer look at fertilizer tariffs. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today.
With the power vested in me as President of the United States, I pardon you. I pardon you this Thanksgiving. Go ahead, say something.
There you go. That's President Joe Biden back on November 19th, pardoning this year's National Thanksgiving turkeys, a presidential tradition. What was special about this year's is that peanut butter and jelly, this year's Thanksgiving turkeys, were raised in southern Indiana under the supervision of Phil Sager, 2021 National Turkey Federation Chairman, and by turkey producer Andrea Welp in cooperation with Far Best Farms. Peanut butter and jelly arrived at their new home Monday, Purdue University in West Lafayette. Dr. Marissa Erasmus, animal sciences professor at Purdue, talks about their accommodations.
Well, they have their very own indoor housing with an outdoor enclosure. So weather permitting, they have the choice of going inside or outside. And they have some straw, some shavings to scratch and forage in. They've been raised together, so they'll have each other for company. And we have the best care for them at our Animal Sciences Research and Education Center.
Rebecca Yonascan, president of the Indiana State Poultry Association, tells Hat that peanut butter and jelly represented Indiana well in D.C. and highlighted the fact that Indiana has the nation's most diverse poultry flock.
We're number one in duck production, number two in egg and egg-laying chickens, number four in turkey production, a good broiler industry as well. And I really see these two turkeys as just emblematic of Indiana's flock and the high-quality products that we produce, and just our very genuine commitment to feeding our communities and, you know, kind of giving. It's very symbolic to go to the White House and give a, you know, a turkey. So these guys represented us well.
This is the first time the National Thanksgiving turkeys were raised in Indiana since 2007, when the Sager family presented President George W. Bush with May and flour.
Midwest Pork Conference is excited to return to an in-person gathering at a brand new location. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds, Lebanon, Indiana, for a day filled with information you need for your farm. The conference features educational seminars, a huge trade show, and networking with other pig farmers over a delicious lunch catered by Shoup's Country Foods. Registration info at MidwestPorkConference.com. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds for a bigger and better Midwest Pork Conference.
Farming, an already tough business, could be even tougher next year. Andy Eubank explains.
The National Corn Growers Association has joined other ag organizations in asking the U.S. Court of International Trade to take a closer look at the case of tariffs on phosphorus fertilizers imported to the U.S. What farmers are facing are fertilizer shortages and soaring prices. NCGA President Chris Edgington from Iowa says they have asked a major American fertilizer company to withdraw their petition that led to the 19% import tariffs on fertilizers from Morocco.
We filed an amicus brief a couple weeks ago to get the tariffs looked at and reviewed and overturned, because it allowed Mosaic to go from 73-74% market share to over 80% market share. And, you know, that's a monopoly. And that does not work well for the corn producer or the ag industry in general. You know, so we're working with the courts on that. But we're also had some initial discussions maybe with some of the fertilizer industry about how this has happened, why it's happened, because we're all playing on a world stage, and maybe we need to spend a little more time talking to each other.
Edgington says the frustration extends to other input costs associated with raising a corn crop.
Seed supply is going to be good. They're saying there's no issues there, but on the chemistries, that's going to be a just-in-time delivery is the way it sounds, and it might be just-in-time delivery of not a product that you've normally used. So there are going to be some challenges there, and what we're hearing is the prices are going to be up substantially there as well.
The corn futures market is well supported at the moment, but 2022 will certainly hold many challenges for corn growers before Mother Nature can even step in and play her games. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Carbon credits represent a new source of income for farmers, but they also represent a new source of confusion and misinformation. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo is putting on a free seminar to lay out the facts about carbon credits. Hoosier Ag Law expert Todd Jansen will present a program on Thursday, December 16th that will help you understand the facts. This is not a sales pitch, but basic information to help you decide if this is an option for you. Details at IndianaFarmExpo.com. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, December 14th through 16th at Grand Park in Westfield, Indiana.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to get your seed guide with pricing. Little disturbance made its way through far northeastern parts of Indiana overnight last night. We wake up this morning and we have warmer air in place. South and southwest flow is in charge over the state today, and I think we see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Now, we do see warm air hold through the day tomorrow. That doesn't mean that it really has a free and easy rain over the area. We see some colder air trying to dive southward over Michigan through the midday hours tomorrow, and that will probably be just enough to trigger some on-again, off-again clouds tomorrow afternoon. At this point, I do not think we see precipitation out of that. I think we see it farther north up in Michigan and probably farther south down in Kentucky. I won't rule out some spits and sprinkles over southern Indiana, but right now I think it's just a cloud event for your Wednesday afternoon, late afternoon, evening, and overnight. Thursday, it turns out partly to mostly sunny and warm. Friday, same thing. Moving into the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, cold air returns, and it returns with a vengeance, well below normal temperatures for Saturday and Sunday. Next week, warm air comes back maybe late Monday and especially Tuesday, just in time for a frontal boundary to come through overnight Tuesday night into Wednesday. This front looks strong, but maybe less concern about moderate to heavy rain than what we saw 24 hours ago. I'm still monitoring this front. As we said yesterday, plenty of time for this front to evolve and change. Right now, it's kind of easing back on moisture, but I'm still going to say anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch possible out of this. It will be rain, and we follow that up with well below normal temperatures for next Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, and Thursday. I do feel, though, by next Friday, the 10th, we are going to be seeing temperatures start to climb again as we see that southwest flow rip-roar right back into our neck of the woods. So it's kind of a roller coaster ride on temperatures, and we don't have a lot of moisture around, but just enough to keep us on our toes. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A sell-off, corn, soybeans, wheat, and livestock. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The review is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. Settlements coming up. First market analysis, which I secured at the end of trade from John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. John, we have some really wild markets to talk about. Thought maybe that was over on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, but we have some pretty significant losses after maybe some hope going into the day session with some higher overnight markets, but roughly dime and dime plus losses, corn, soybeans, and wheat. What do you make of it?
I'm not sure we make a whole lot of it here, Andy. We were getting a little bit overbought on the charts, certainly wheat, corn, and soybeans still looking at a less than impressive export situation, although we're starting, you know, for the last 5 or 6 weeks, we have seen good export shipments. And each week, the previous this week's number gets raised. They raised this last week's number by about 27 million bushels. So we're close to being on par here the last 5 or 6 weeks with the same period that we saw last year. But we were way behind early on. So I think fundamentally the soybean market continues to struggle a little bit with that. And, you know, the fund position in corn, probably after Friday, we end up closing higher on Friday and over 1.7 billion. So that's a lot of length coming off the second biggest crop in history. So I think today is, I wouldn't make too much out of today other than just a technical correction that, you know how it is, we're going to always have one. It's just a question of when and how much. And, I'd be a little concerned that today's not the end of the downside here for this week, but we certainly have some things to be friendly about, especially for corn and soybeans.
And the dollar index on Monday, very strong, so that was certainly a corn headwind.
Yeah, you know, 16-month highs, and we really haven't seen that impact the commodity world much up until maybe last week when we started to take a bigger hit in the energy markets. And then, of course, on Friday, the energy market got hit really hard. And we're up a little bit there today, except for natural gas, which has taken a big hit. And I think natural gas might be reacting to this warmer, drier forecast we're seeing for the next 2 weeks.
As we move into the next few days and coming weeks, what will it take to get some additional support pushing the markets a little higher?
Well, I'd like to see the Chinese step in for some corn purchases. That would be the best thing fundamentally, I think, for corn right here. But I think that might be a reach. They're coming off their best corn crop in history. I mean, they haven't been in a hurry to ship the sales that they have on the books. So tight farmer holding has certainly been supportive, all three commodities, but that might start changing here as we get closer to January. We typically see some additional farmer movement there. So South American weather, so far so good. Argentina and Brazil, although some hot and drier weather could be on tap for southern Brazil and Argentina. So we'll be keeping an eye on that.
And I know when you talk to farmers, certainly there have been some discussions about the high input costs and what that may mean in 2022. Anything in particular that you're hearing?
Well, we continue to be more bearish acres, corn acres, than anybody else that we know of at this point. We're thinking corn acres could fall off to 87, 88 million. And we haven't heard anybody else going under 90 yet. I think that South Dakota and North Dakota accounted for 2 million acre increase this past spring due to prevent plant the previous
John's
year.
Acre, those their acres risk are management commodities in Lafayette,
so
Indiana. The number is 866-837-9027. Now, more numbers. Finals from Monday trade, 581 December corn, down 5 3/4, but about a nickel off of the day's low. March corn, 9.5 off at 582 1/4. May, 585 3/4, down almost a dime. 11 1/4 lower. January soybeans, 1241 1/2. March contract, 11 lower at 1252. May, 1261 1/4, 11 1/4 down. 18 cents lower. December and March wheat, December going to 807 1/2. March, 822 1/4. Livestock was higher quietly earlier in the trading session, but finished down, with December live cattle 136.92, down 117. December lean hogs 80 cents lower at 72.40, down a dime on the February. You're up to date on the markets. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.